You're listening to Hottery Humble.
No howling, only wooing.
Let's go, Hawks! Let's go!
Welcome, welcome. Surprise, it's me, the greatest value. Yeah, you were expecting Tommy, the humblest man on earth, but you got me. Because yes, you guessed it, it's our half birthday, Tommy, episode 26.
Woo-woo, 26.
Welcome to the show. 26 shows in, feeling good, feeling great, but not really, because we just watched the Auburn game.
That's right.
How you doing today, Tom?
To be honest, I'm a little bit mentally exhausted, but I'm ready. I'm ready for the show. It's Tuesday, January the 4th, right after the Auburn loss. Overtime, got the kids in bed. Now we're recording, and I'm feeling kind of okay. But we've got a lot to talk about. A lot.
Lots to talk about.
But I don't want this podcast to be forever long either, because I'm kind of... This is going to be concise. It's going to be great. Episode 26, half birthday. It's going to be good.
Yeah. Let me derail things. I'll try to be quick. I promise.
Okay.
Got a problem. We talked briefly about it. This is just to lighten the mood a little bit, because you know what? I'm still upset about the Auburn game. Real quick. We have an old bed. Okay. You guys have been there. It's a queen size bed, box springs, mattress and all. We're done with it. We're done. We've had it for over 10 years. So we put it in the garage, sat there for a long time. I was like, okay, it's nice. We had a nice weekend in Northwest Arkansas weather-wise. I stuck it on the curb. Trash day's on Monday. So maybe someone will come pick it up. Who knows? So it sat Saturday, sat Sunday, sat Monday, nothing. And my wife sends me a text Monday afternoon. All it said, trash man didn't get it. So now it rained last night. I've got a mattress and a box spring just sitting on the curb. I've got a couple options, Tom. One, leave it on the curb.
Just forever?
Two. Yeah, until someone just takes
just
it.
Just out of pity, someone is just like, or your HOA starts just, I don't know, sending you letters probably.
Two, take it back in the garage. It's wet now. Ugh. It's wet. Three, borrow a truck, and it sounds too responsible to go find a responsible. I don't know what to do with it. Who knows? I don't know. Take it somewhere. Or four, and this is kind of where I'm leaning, is burn it. Burn it in the backyard. Where are you at?
Oh, man. There's a lot. You've gotten yourself in a pickle here. That's the first off. For one, it's amazing that you thought the trash guys would pick up the mattress to me.
Sounded reasonable at the time.
Here in Spring Hill, Tennessee, I live in a city that if you just call them, they'll pick up any dump, any stuff. They'll pick up anything on a Monday. You just got to kind of schedule it. It's free. They just come and grab it. Easy, easy peasy. Okay.
Do they ask any questions?
No, very little. It's the same old grumpy guy every time. You just talk to him and he goes, okay. I did like a kitchen remodel, so I had a bunch of junk. I found that 2 miles from my house, I have a county just dump. It's like a drop-off center. It's very well organized. They have these like big, you know, I don't even know what to call them. They look like what is the back of a semi truck. I don't know what to call that size of stuff. But you can throw I threw my Christmas tree in there when I was done with it. You can always take garbage. You can take anything you want there, furniture, whatever. It's for that. So I know where to go here, Chad, but... You're in a pickle, man, because you've got a 600-pound mattress out there full of termites and dust body mites. It's full of dead body skin cells. You probably got some pee in there mixed in it now. It's going to be nasty.
I know that burning it sounds like a bad idea, but at the same time, it kind of sounds awesome. I know there's a lot of things that could go wrong. Maybe not the most environmentally friendly thing to do either, but I don't know.
You'll have
burn
to
burn it.
Yeah, I mean, you can try burning it. That is definitely what I would say, depending on your lot size, that's the Arkansas way. You know, just that it's your property. But then again, if you have an HOA and stuff like that, You're going to have some problems. You don't. Okay, that's good. That's a good
thing. It's a new development, so we don't, not yet. But you know what? I sent you the picture. It looks really bad. We might share it. I don't know. I don't know if anyone cares. I mean, I'm sure other people have had the same problem. I don't have a truck, so it's just sitting on the curb. There it is.
I thought for a second, you're just in a bad place. You can't really drag it anywhere, like tie it up somehow or like, I don't know. You can either throw it on top of your SUV and just tie it down and go for it, burn it. You got to let us know, though. That's for sure, because I don't know what you're doing. You're in a bad place, Chad.
Just chop it up.
I thought about that, too, for a second. Just I don't even know how you chop. I guess if you better have a chainsaw.
You know, I'm one of those. I don't know.
You're in trouble.
I'm going to do something.
Hey, well, let's talk just for a brief second. Again, let's avoid Razorback basketball and talk just for a second about the Super Bowl. Okay, I know everybody's freaking out about the halftime show. Whatever, I don't care. Definitely was, you know, a little fun, kind of. It was interesting. How about that? But the thing that struck me, I watched very little of it because I'm just that not interested in the NFL, but what was the deal with the cartoon characters all over the place? It was like they were more willing to show a cartoon character of these players than their actual picture. When did that happen?
Oh, yeah, I did notice that.
That threw me off so bad. It's like, just, I want to see a picture of a real human. Why are we showing cartoon characters of people during the Super Bowl?
You know, I noticed that, but I never really, I didn't put a lot of thought to it.
Why is that weird. A cultural thing, right? Like so many layers of approval had to go in the Super Bowl preparation to say, yeah, this is going to be just what America wants. This is going to be cool. This is going to be different. And it's just weird. Cartoons, people. Yep. Like, I want caricatures of Patrick Mahomes. No.
Who signed off on that one? Come on.
Exactly. All right. Well, that was what... I guess you've got mattresses, and I'm just mad at the Super Bowl. So, let's talk a little bit about the three Razorback games we have to get caught up on in basketball. Ooh. I honestly think it was one of the worst basketball games I've ever seen in my entire life. South Carolina beating Arkansas 79-77 at Arkansas, of course. Then we had a wonderful game against Alabama where we beat them 82-78 on the road on Saturday. And then we just got through this overtime slug fest at the end. I don't know. It just got really sluggish. Auburn beating us 79-76. Chad, what do you think, man?
Oh, man. Where do I start?
Let's start with South Carolina.
Ugliest game I've ever seen. I'm a worse human being after watching that game.
Ugh, those refs.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you know, I'm just going to go ahead. I'm going to give. I like this game. The punch, high five, and who do you want a best friend? You know, I'm going to go ahead and do it for all three games. I'm ready.
So we're just going to jump just straight
I'm
in
sorry. Yeah,
to
I'm
it.
I'm jumping in.
Okay,
I'm jumping
let's
in.
Do it. Let's do, let's. What do we call it? We call it... High five, best friend, or punch to the face.
Let's get ready to...
High five. Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
A nice punch to the face.
Y'all ready for this? Yes. You know, because the South Carolina game just makes me so mad, I don't want to talk about it. So here we go. Rapid fire, and then I'll go a little bit of detail. I'm gonna punch the refs.
Okay.
I'm typically not a guy that does that. I'm going to high five Mason, and I'm gonna best friend Muscle Man. All right. I'm gonna best friend Muscle Man because it's like he's catching some heat right now. And forget you guys, I love Coach Muss. Okay. So I'm gonna punch the refs because it's not necessarily all bad calls against Arkansas. It's just bad calls everywhere.
Yes.
Inconsistency. Ugh. Brutal. Too many free throws, too many inconsistent touch fouls. It's awful. High five goes to Mason just because he's literally scored 100 points in three games. He's got to hit free throws. Mason got to hit free throws, man. It's a mental thing. I know you're tired as well, but you got to hit those.
Man, 100 points in three games. Wow.
Stupid.
For those that weren't listening closely to the Auburn telecast, they announced it. I actually knew it was coming before that thanks to some people on Twitter, but this is the first time, at least, that statisticians, stat you know the word I'm looking for, have found that I don't think any Razorback basketball player has ever scored 30 points in three consecutive games ever. Mason Jones has set that record. Not that that's... It's definitely an accomplishment, and he's only the second SEC player to have done that in the past 20 seasons. So definitely elite run of point scoring for Mason, and he doesn't just do it with point scoring. He's leading the team in rebounds. He's leading them in assists. I mean, he's... Or maybe it's steals. He's leading in multiple categories. He's really just... This is his team right now, which is insane, Chad. It's insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jimmy Witt was... nowhere to be found tonight against Auburn. He was an important pillar in the other games. We should have the consistency. Arkansas is a middle of the road SEC school. That's what I mean. That's where we're at. We're 4-5 in the conference. They're winning games. They shouldn't. You know, I expected a loss against Auburn. I did. That's the way they lost, Tommy. We're up 11. You could tell the team just kind of started coasting. You know, and these legendary scoring droughts are just brutal to watch. We just don't score for like 10 minutes of game time.
I wouldn't say it's by design, because obviously no one would want an 11-point lead to slip away. But I definitely know that Musselman has said in his press conferences that whenever they have leads like that, their goal is to eat up clock. They aren't running in offense. They don't want to score quickly. They want to quote unquote waste time, which is a strategy that some people probably hate. It definitely kills tempo. It kills momentum, I think, in a lot of ways, but it helps you win games. You know, I'm sure in theory it probably has a lot of success, but it doesn't feel it. I guess we probably, if we actually look at each game, it's probably been more successful than not. But this is one of those games where it didn't favor us. You know, it's like we slowed it down too much. And then by the end of the game, if it ever goes to overtime, it's like it's really hard for us to kick it back into, normal basketball tempo gear. It's like we still want to be in that slow, grind it out, give the ball to Mason, let him dribble around, drive it, maybe get fouled, maybe dish it off, and who knows what happens, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's frustrating. As good as it looked at Alabama, it's just confusing. It's confusing. We need a healthy Isaiah Joe as well. We need him. I'd rather save for tournament time or something.
Yeah, he'll probably be back by then, I hope.
Something's wrong with him.
Yeah, he had I think I've heard a knee scope or something today. You know, I don't know if it's super conclusive what exactly happened, but a lot of people are saying he had some kind of surgery on his knee, like a knee scope. And, you know, I saw something pop up on my phone that said he's out indefinitely. It's probably more like weeks would be my guess. I don't think this is season ending, but definitely got something wrong with his knee. But, you know, we beat Alabama without him. He was there, but basically without him. And we played Auburn really well for the most part. I think not having his body hurt at the end, but I don't know how much... Surely we're going to miss him, but it's hard to quantify exactly how much because it's not the real him right now. If we had the real him, it'd be great, but it's almost like the hurt him is hurting the team more. Maybe I'm off there. You know what I'm trying to say?
I know what you're saying. I mean, he's not adding any value at all.
He's a decoy, so, you know?
Yeah. I think what I heard on the Alabama game, he was like minus... What was his plus or minus at Alabama? I think he was like minus 16 with him on the court.
Oh my!
Which is unlike. I mean, it was bad, and that's why he got pulled.
Let's look that up. So,
as you look that up, Arkansas travels to Missouri on Saturday, 2:30 slot. Good. I mean, this team plays really well on the road. They'll bounce back on Saturday against Missouri, but man, it's just you hate to lose. He hates to lose that one. I know everyone. Had I heard, everyone felt confident against Auburn. I didn't. I did not expect to win against Auburn at all. So played well enough to win. And it's just tough to lose it that way.
Yeah, I did not think we would beat Auburn. Honestly, the game didn't play out the way I thought it would if we're kind of shifting more to Auburn. Wow, you were exactly right too, by the way. Isaiah Joe, negative 19 against Alabama. Jalen Harris, plus 22. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
He's playing well.
MVP, man.
He's playing, The humble
didn't
beast.
Think that. The humble beast. Oh, man. The humble beast. So
I'm flexing right now. Can't see.
So I thought that what would happen is that we would get destroyed rebounds. I thought that it would be embarrassing. We hung with them on rebounds. The storyline was not what I thought. Auburn didn't play the way I thought. And I give credit to Reggie Chaney primarily. Yeah. Adriel Bailey really had some good, I would say almost like 2/3 of the game, they were really effective. And then that last third and into overtime, it just felt less effective. I'm sure they were fine. But Auburn's big rebounder and big guy, oh, what was his name? I've got to go find it.
Wiley. Wiley yeah. Coyote.
Yeah, I thought Wiley was going to just annihilate us. I thought he was going to have his best game of the year. I thought he was going to get tons of rebounds, even get some points. He was garbage. He didn't do anything. He only got a handful of rebounds. I was shocked. So I don't know if that was an intentional game plan thing from Musselman. It's hard to believe it was, but it was probably very unexpected for Bruce Pearl or Auburn. I don't think they anticipated having that much of a challenge rebounding and probably didn't put a lot of effort into it. And man, credit to Reggie Chaney and Adriel Bailey. Adriel had a nasty block.
Oh, yeah.
And Chaney had some really good rebounds. He had some boneheaded parts as well, you know, some bad fouls and things, but definitely shot.
How about Reggie Chaney these past few games?
Coming on.
We could dive into these games. We could go into a lot of analysis and break it down. That would take a long time. I think we all kind of, you know, we know where this team's at. They can win any game.
Yes.
I feel confident in
that's
that.
A good.
Win any game. But they're going to come down to the wire.
Yes.
And here's how Arkansas wins the big game. It's when all the pieces and all the cylinders are firing. What excites me is that Reggie Chaney is playing up to his potential right now. So we got Chaney going. We need Witt to be consistent. We need Mason to keep doing what he's doing. Jalen Harris to continue at this raised level of play. And then you add in a healthy Isaiah Joe to this mix. You keep Gene Tosilla on the bench.
Yes.
And on top of all that, you get Adriel playing like he did against Auburn. And that's a team I'm confident going into March with. A team I'm confident with.
Yeah. From what I could tell today, this was prior to the Auburn loss. But, you know, when you look at like the analytics websites that look at numbers and crunch everything, I mean, it's all just whatever. But Arkansas right now has definitely has over a 90% chance of being in the NCAA tournament, which I think is outright amazing. If you just think of when we were coming into this season, our expectations, we were like, we have Isaiah Joe and Adriel Bailey, and that's it. That's what we were thinking coming into this season. We were like, Mason Jones is fine. He's probably going to play some. I picked him as the sleeper this year as like, I don't want to pick the star player here. I just want to pick a guy that might become good or important. Yeah, he became pretty stinking important all of a sudden, mm-hmm. Mason Jones. And then now your guy, Reggie Chaney, your pick at the beginning of the season is really stepping up as well. And in a way, has kind of overtaken Adriel Bailey. As kind of our most important post presence, I think. He's been very effective offensively lately. In the SEC play, just getting some buckets around the rim after rebounds, things like that, offensive rebounding. So it's just wild to think that we are kind of in the driver's seat to an NCAA tournament bid is so shocking and awesome. I mean, we have an elite coach. We really do.
Yeah.
After the Alabama game, I saw hogstats.com, which is a website that has, you know, pretty much primarily Arkansas basketball stats. They also are very active on Twitter, tweeted out how long it took previous coaches to get to 4 road games in their tenure. It took Muss 4 road wins, in their tenure. It took Muss 7 road games to win 4. Just 7. And it took Mike Anderson like 26. Stan Heath like 25. I don't remember this exactly, but it was 20 to 25 for every coach prior to us. And Muss is doing it this fast. And we're not beating these junk teams. You know, we're beating very solid teams. He's a great coach. And that makes me want to get into something that I saw after the South Carolina loss that just cracked me up. Everybody overreacts, Chad. So sometimes I like to pull, you know, a tweet or something that somebody throws out there and just kind of hold them to the fire, so to speak, a little bit, grill them a little bit, and call this the stupid Twitter comment of the week. And this one goes to his name looks like Kick Science. And he's got like a punching bag and like a boom symbol and a red and a black and then a money. I don't know what that means. But that's what his name looks like. And then it's at Larry88686857. Yeah, y'all know that guy. And he tweeted, "Musclehead is Chad Morris 2.0. Save this tweet."
Boy.
I love the save this tweet. That's my favorite part of it. Musclehead. I actually think Musclehead is a pretty cool nickname.
I like that.
Musclehead. Chad Morris 2.0. Ouch. Yeah. I really can't even start with that because it's so stupid. Where do you even start? Like, name one thing that Musselman is like with Chad. Like, one thing he's like Chad Morris in. You can't, so.
Such an overreaction.
And for the record, Pinto replied to that and said, "This is a brain dead tweet, fam." So we all know Pinto.
That's hilarious.
So Chad, I don't think I was able to do my high five, hug, and punch to the face. So I guess I'll do mine.
Let's get ready to
high five.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep. A nice punch to the face.
Y'all ready for this? So I'm going to give a punch. I'm going to start with the punch. And I'm punching the stupid, I don't even know what position he holds, but the stupid, I'm going to call him a graduate assistant. I think he's not a graduate assistant. He is some kind of coach, you know, lower level coach on the bench that you always see who got the technical called on him in the South Carolina game. Stupid.
Had a horrible time.
And I don't even remember his name. I think it's Hayes. I think his name's Hayes something. And Musk called him out like multiple times on it. He called him out in the press conference. You can tell it Musk. I honestly thought he might have fired the guy. It made him that mad. He didn't try to hide it at all. You know, they asked him who it was, and he was like, "Yeah, it was one of our coaches on the bench. His name's Hayes. He did it. It's his fault." It was kind of awesome. And he's the guy that whenever we make a three, he kind of embarrasses himself with how he pulls the arrow out of his back and, you know, releases the arrow. By the way, just caveat to that, it always makes me laugh when we make a three and then Ethan Henderson does the like three guitar strum. There's something really funny about that to me. It's like his big gangly body just moving, you know, it's good stuff.
Oh yeah, that's funny.
So he gets the punch. That's who I'm punching. Let's see. I'm going to have to hug Mason Jones. I mean, it just has to happen. Mason Jones. We've talked about him already. What a performance these past three games. He's a man. And I'm going to high five probably an unexpected person here. I am high fiving Frank Martin. Okay?
Frank.
And it's not because I'm happy about it. It's more of like a sarcastic high five because he did exactly what he wanted to do in that game. He stole a SEC road victory for himself. He was able to somehow get these refs totally to not understand what a foul is. He totally brainwashed. You know, there's a lot of more strong, aggressive languages about brainwash. He totally got into those refs' heads, and they were calling fouls of just idiocy, and it was exactly what he likes in a game. He was loving it. So, hey, high five to you, Frank Martin, for just being able to make it work for yourself when it shouldn't work. There is no way that style of play is acceptable, and yet he does it, and for some reason, some people like it, which is crazy to me. But, Chad, do you know who doesn't like it?
Who?
Not at all. Andy in Memphis. Andy in Memphis, our friend, he hates it. So he tweeted in after the game, he texted into our phone line, and he said, "Frank Martin basketball is not basketball. They need to give guys helmets and shoulder pads. They get a lot of fouls called on them, but you could call one every time the man someone up
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That's true.
If there was not shot clock, he would play to get up by a bucket and run the clock out. Games would end 10-8. And he might be right, to be honest. Yeah, it's gross. It was embarrassing. It was disgusting. Frank Martin, you get a high five, but it's a very sarcastic high five.
Yeah, you get it.
So looking ahead, Chad, we've got two games that we can talk about prior to us recording in for next week. We're going to have Mizzou and Tennessee, two road games.
Yep.
So, Chad, I think I was completely wrong, absolutely, about both games last week that we predicted. Yep. We didn't have the Auburn. I kind of screwed up and forgot to include Auburn last week. Couldn't record this one early enough in time, so we kind of missed our Auburn preview, so to speak. But I pretty much thought we'd beat South Carolina, wouldn't be a problem, and then get smoked by Bama. Couldn't have been more wrong. I was just off. I'm terrible.
Yeah.
You were...
I said sweep.
You said we'd win too, so obviously you were kind of wrong. I don't know. You were more right than me. So we've got two road games, Chad.
Pretty usually.
Road games, tough to win, regardless. What do you think, Chad? Mizzou, split. At Tennessee.
We beat Missouri at Missouri, and we lose at Tennessee.
All right.
We're splitting them.
Is that more because you have looked at the teams, looked at the stats, looked how both teams are performing, and you think, wow, matchup, or more of a bigger, broader sense like, it's just really difficult to win two back-to-back road games for anybody in the country, so it's just improbable.
It's more of that.
Yeah.
It's more of that. I've done the matchup, and here's how it should play out. But there's so many other things that are more important than that for me. It's more heart-driven. It's the way I live my life. Yeah, it's like you said. It's tough to win back-to-back. Tennessee's a good team, good coach. Can Arkansas beat Tennessee? Absolutely. It's just they have to execute on the things we already know. You got to get rebounds. You got to force turnovers. You got to get the easy buckets. Really, I mean, that's the big things. You got to hit from three. That's it. I mean, that's what you got to do. Can they execute it twice on the road?
Mizzou should be garbage. I really think they're a really bad team.
Yep.
They lost one of their taller players. I guess you'd call him a center. For the season. So pretty much since that happened, they've just really just tanked. Basically, they've plummeted in every ranking analytics. They've plummeted once that one guy got hurt. So now they basically just have Drew Smith, and that's about it on their team. They really don't have a lot else. They do remind me, they have some things that are similar to Arkansas, but the way I would describe them is they're a worse version of Arkansas. Does that make sense? I just don't see. It's almost like they're the team that our strengths are their weaknesses, and what they're strong in, we are strong to counteract that as well. And it just feels like, man, if there's one team that we can beat, it's Missouri. So having said that, we'll probably lose that game. That's how it goes. But I just feel like, man, that team is just not good. We should beat them. And I was going to ask you, Chad.
Yeah.
So now Isaiah Joe-less, since we are Joe-less, what's Joe-less. Our starting five going to look like? Do you think we're going to keep rolling with this Desi Sills, Mason Jones, Jimmy Witt, and then have Reggie Chaney and Adrio? Do you think we're going to have the two post guys? Or do you think we might switch it up, maybe throw in Jalen Harris instead of, I don't know, Ray, Adrio or Reggie? I don't know. What you thinking?
Whew. That's a tough question. I think it's got to depend on matchup. But, it's a tough question. I think Muscle will switch it up. Desi's got to stop fouling at really bad times. Auburn game. Oof. I don't know how I can count. I mean, two or three fouls where he fouled with less than 5 seconds on the shot clock. That's just killer. You can't do that. Desi's good, though. Desi's really good. I think it's going to be matchup based if we need to play big. And like how they performed, just how they're doing in practice. Must knows these guys mentally. So, yeah, that's what I think is going to happen.
Got it. Well, Tennessee's really good at blocks. I can tell you that. They block a lot. They have one dude who's just a blocking machine. His name is, I don't even know how to pronounce his name. I really don't. It is Yves. Eves? Yves. And then his last name is Pons. Eves Pons? I don't know how to pronounce his names. But names. Yves Pons. So, Yves. I don't know how to pronounce his name, but he's a blocking machine.
Pretty sure it's Jeeves.
It's a Jeevesy.
Jeeves' names.
So, Tennessee, they're a defensive team. They, you know, they play slow. They don't score a lot of points. They're defensive minded. I don't think we've really played. I don't think they're very good at offense, though. They're just kind of a big defensive team. You know, that's the way I would phrase them. They haven't been performing very well. I do think they beat Alabama tonight on the road, which is a nice win for them. Alabama must be falling apart, unfortunately, for us. I guess between the two teams, Chad, so you said we'd go 1-1. Did you say which team you thought would beat us?
Oh, yeah. We're beating Missouri on the road, and Tennessee's going to beat us at Tennessee.
Yeah. We play both of these teams twice. There are, you know, with the SEC, the way it does it, which I would actually love, maybe this is an opinion that other people don't, I would love it if the SEC football moved away from divisions and moved to the way the basketball does. It won't happen, so I can say it and it won't matter. But I actually love the idea of playing every opponent once, and then you have a random, however it works, you know, four teams that you have to play. So our teams that we play twice are Mississippi State, Mizzou, Tennessee, and LSU. So, you know, Mississippi State and LSU, tough games that we'll have to play. But I actually looked at all the teams that, you know, all the repeat teams that each team had, and it was kind of interesting. South Carolina actually has by far the easiest four opponents, I think, that they play, you know, have to play twice. They have to play Tennessee, Texas A&M, Vanderbilt, and Georgia. All those teams, I don't think, are in the top half of the SEC. They're all bottom half SEC teams, which is really nice. Georgia, man, poor Georgia. They got the short end of the stick this year. Georgia plays Auburn, Kentucky, Florida, and Texas A&M, but three, you know, pretty good teams there. And then I felt like kind of the big, you know, of the top of the SEC teams, I think the best, you know, the ones that are most likely to make the NCAA tournament, they all felt kind of similar. Like Kentucky plays Georgia, Vanderbilt, so two weak teams, and then Auburn and Tennessee. So theirs is a little bit easier. Auburn plays Georgia, Kentucky, Ole Miss, and Alabama. So they're all kind of similar, where it's like one good team and then an average team and maybe some bad teams. So anyways.
Georgia's going to beat Arkansas, Tommy. I know that's my controversial pick.
Oh, it's Georgia's so going to beat them. Georgia's garbage. They have one good player, and they're garbage.
They're going to beat Arkansas.
Oh, that'd be... If we lose to Georgia, Chad, we're going to have to put some stakes on this. This is big. Save this tweet. We lose to Georgia. All right. So I feel like... I want to be fair here. I feel like you're going out on the limb more saying we lose at Georgia. Well, I don't know. Well, yeah, you're probably going out on more of a limb saying that. So...
I feel very confident.
I think that... We should have two punishments, okay, or potentially two ideas. One idea that I've had as like to hold us to our predictions and to punish us for being wrong is, one, we have to eat something on the podcast, and it's something we won't want to eat, like a hot pepper. Maybe we have to drink something gross. I don't know. We'll just have like vinegar. Ooh, we'll have to figure. So that's one idea I had. Or we have to sing a song at the other one's. Karaoke style at the other one's choosing. So those are the two punishments I've come up with that we could do on the podcast. So
okay.
I think those are pretty good. I don't know if we want to just willy-nilly throw those out often, but I think that could be a lot of fun.
We have to apologize if they have to listen to us sing, but it could be entertaining. I'm in.
All right. We'll see. So the Georgia game seems like we have a lot. I'm going to go out on a limb and say we beat Tennessee and Mizzou. I think we should. I have to go with what we should do. We should beat them. We're a better team than both of those. Even without Isaiah Joe, we should beat them. very they should be a teams that we beat. You know, if we played them 10 times, we'd beat Mizzou 8 times, 9 times, and we'd beat Missouri or Tennessee 7 times probably. I really think that. So I'm just going to go with what should happen, and if I'm wrong, what's new with the SEC? So they're just not good, neither team. So Chad,
we will see, Tom.
Hockey played some games. As you all know, we always talk about hockey, and they actually
the best team in Arkansas.
They actually swept the 2-game series they had with the Division II team.
Love it.
Arkansas is a dang good hockey team, Chad.
They're good.
Arkansas has the SECHC. I think I've been calling it the SECHL, but it's the HC conference tournament this upcoming weekend in Bellevue, Tennessee, at the Ford Ice Center, the new location. They built a brand new Ford Ice Center in Bellevue. It's nice. I haven't been there, but they play Friday, they play Saturday, and then hopefully Sunday. And I'm going to try to go Saturday night to the game.
Nice.
Basically, if we need to beat the team on Friday to advance to the game I can go to on Saturday, but it should be no problem for us to win that Friday night game. If we do lose it, I apologize, because I'm not going to. I think if we lose, we go to like a 10 o'clock or something, 10:45 in the morning game.
Whew.
I'm going to the 6:30 at night game. should be a lot of fun. I'm excited about it. I'm not doing the RSVP for like the 2-hour pregame thing. I'm planning on bringing my daughter with me.
Yeah.
And we're doing a kind of pre Valentine's Day daddy daughter kind of thing with that. So we're going to go out to eat beforehand and then go to that game. I just think it'd be kind of fun, see if she likes rooting for the hockey team. So that could be a lot of fun, but I'll try to take some pics, have some good times, hopefully get my picture taken with Suga Sawara. That would be the ultimate.
Yeah.
That dude, he's my favorite.
You know, wear your jersey?
Yeah. No question. easiest question of the day, man.
Nice.
What about you, Chad? You doing anything fun?
Whew.
When's the next Razorback game you can go to? Are you going to go to a baseball or can you get to a basketball game?
This weekend at the Bentonville Community Center, having a Valentine's Day daddy-daughter dance.
Ooh.
So me and my daughter are going. It's going to be fun. It's the weekend before Valentine's Day, so she's wearing a dress. I'm dressing up. It's going to be a good time. It's a good thing. Fun thing to do in the area.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be good.
Well, hopefully you have a wonderful time. Hopefully the Hawks can get some wins.
Let's get it going.
Of course, we've got National Signing Day tomorrow for football. I'm sure there's going to be a million places you can get all the news and updates you want with that for football. I'll say this. We're getting some ridiculous transfers in right now. Pretty crazy. I always say this, though. People get really excited about transfers. Right, Chad? They are another team's cast-offs, okay? Now, granted, they were very highly touted, all of them. Felipe Franks, Xavier Kelly, and linebacker from Oklahoma. What's his name? Levi Draper, moving from Oklahoma. Now, I will say, I'm sure these guys will start, but I think the best quality they have, Chad, is that they aren't coming from teams that have won only 2 games the past 2 seasons, Chad. Okay? In fact, one comes from Clemson, one came from Oklahoma, one's coming from Florida. Those are 2 winning at high level programs, Chad. So
what do they contribute?
It's either going to be absolute culture shock for them to walk into this Razorback and be like, "Wait, are y'all serious? Y'all seriously only won 2 games the past 2 years? How's that possible?" Look at you. Look at these guys in this locker room. How did y'all only win 2 games? And they won't know. No one knows. It's literally insanity what's happened. So I think I'm hopeful that they bring just a little bit, Chad, just a taste, just a sprinkle, if you will, of culture change of like, yeah, we can win because we came from places that won. It's not that hard. I mean, it is hard, but you know what I'm saying? It's not hard to win. It's almost more difficult to win only 2 games. That's more shocking, you know? It's insane, Chad.
It is.
So I'm excited about the transfers, not necessarily because of their ability, because, again, they are the cast-offs of another team. They have been replaced by, you know, younger players, so they want to come to Arkansas where they can start, which doesn't – it's just – it's just not a good thing. But they can be productive. They can bring us up to decency, I hope, and at least shake this idea that they're big fat losers. They're not coming in thinking they're a big fat loser. But, man, our team, Chad.
Oh, only, man, I said this last year, though. Only one way to go but up, but maybe I was wrong.
You can't predict anything at this point. It is in uncharted territory how bad we are, so whatever. You can't say it can get better. You would imagine it has to, but it's crazy. But National Signing Day is tomorrow. That's always fun. I think the Hogs will get some good news. Sam Pittman's recruiting well. No shock there. Bringing in some players that we probably wouldn't have gotten otherwise. And that's exciting. You know, it's always good to get good talent. So let's hope it sticks out and stick it out with Arkansas and hope they don't transfer out. Chad, have you, for a second, going back to basketball, been watching this team and thought, next year, man, we're bringing in Moses Moody, Jalen Williams, Devontae Davis, KK Robinson. These dudes can shoot. These dudes all can shoot. These dudes are good ball players. Have you thought for a second what it's going to be like next year and how different it's going to be?
I'm excited, but I think we all hate those fan bases that are like, oh, man, next year's going to be killer, you know. But that's fine. I'm excited. It's going to be a good class. I'm trying to live in the moment because this team's overachieved.
Yes.
It's fun to watch. They're still a fun team to watch. They're in every game.
They definitely have captivated Razorback hearts. Like, I feel like Razorback fans enjoy this team. Like, it's a team that we can root for. They've done more than we expected. We have a fondness towards them. You might say we like them, we love them. They're likable. And, man, you could even see it in the Auburn game, too. Just the intensity on defense. They play defense with an intensity that's just admirable. I love it.
Yeah.
You know, they try. They're busting it out there.
I'm excited. I am excited for the future because – it's a lot better than, oh, Mike Anderson has one recruit coming next year. What are we going to do? Just, that's a good feeling, but I'm not banking everything on, well, let's wait till next year, you know?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm going to enjoy this ride. Don't get me wrong. But it just makes you think, man, this is going to be more than any other time in Muss's tenure at Arkansas. This is the year where the pieces don't fit. And the longer it gets, it's going to just start. The pieces will fit. The players will complement each other. And if he can just get the culture right, which he seems like he is, man, when those pieces are falling in line, it's just upward. It's just on an upward trajectory. And it's neat to think about. I'm excited about the four guys coming in, man. They can ball. They can shoot. They're good players. Well, all right, Chad.
I'm excited.
You got any parting shots today?
Parting shots. Just go out and be a good person, you know? Go out and be a good... Leave us a good review. Go out and leave us a good review. That's what I want.
Sounds good. That's it. That's your parting shot. Leave us a good review on your podcast listening service of choice. Should I do it, Chad?
Yeah. This is fantastic.
We were laughing before the show. I you know, I don't look at the ratings. To be honest, we haven't gotten like a written form review on us in a long time. And I was looking at iTunes and it just makes me smile and laugh because it's just funny. So I will share. It was not a good review. It's our first, so to speak, negative review. And let me find it. Okay. So it was written January 8th, 2020. I need to look at what episode we did there. During that time frame.
Good one.
But this was from BG24. Okay. And he said, Chad, that this podcast is, quote, it's titled Not for Serious Fans. So if you are a serious fan, he's probably correct. Well, no, that's not because we are very, I think most people that listen to this are probably very serious fans because they probably listen to other podcasts as well. I highly doubt this is the only podcast most listeners listen to, right, Chad? I think so. I think most listen to a couple different Razorback podcasts. But anyways, maybe he gave this one a shot. This is not for serious fans. And my favorite part of it, it's pretty long. The best part, he gave us 2 stars, 2 out of 5. Not good. But the best part's the first like 6 words of it. And it says, these guys are kind of, sort of funny sometimes. So we're kind of, sort of funny sometimes. I think that's well said and probably just pinpoint accurate. I don't know if I would have used so many.
Kind of, sort of, sometimes.
Kind of, sort of, sometimes funny. So I take that. I'm going to take the positive route. We made BG24 awesome. At least smile at least once, Chad. So that makes my day.
One smile is better than no smiles.
But yeah, he went on, or this person went on there to share more about their opinions of it. And they even said they gave us another shot, and it just got worse. So bottom line, we are not the podcast for that person, but that is A-okay. Because that's there's... fine. I actually tweeted this out. There's like 18 Razorback podcasts that I know of. 18, Chad. You can go and listen to Trey Biddy's and get the Trey Biddy business. He's going to give you news and recruiting. You know, he's going to be Trey Biddy. You can go and listen to any number of people's podcasts. There's 18. You know, there's a wide smorgasbord of content creators in the Razorback world. So if you do happen to need to find or curious about other ones, reach out to me. I pretty much know them all, being in the business that we are of making this podcast. So I would say my favorite, I'm going to give my personal shout out. I've never done this on the podcast. My favorite Razorback podcast besides my own, okay, is Welcome to Fedville. Chad knew I was going here. Welcome to Fedville, okay? And it's because I already know all the news and updates, but they take a comedic approach to Razorbacks. And let me tell you, there is no more of a comedic team than the Arkansas Razorback football team right now. And it's funny. They do bits and skits in there. Fedville comes from the way people say Fayetteville there. It's kind of like a slurry way of saying Fedville. I guess people say it that way. Yeah. And, you know, it's just a funny show. So go check it out. I really like it. I listen to it. They're kind of in a dead period now. They produce their stuff during football season. So anyways, go check them out. Go find their past content. At least listen to their best of the last season. They did like a compilation of their 10 best skits from last season. It's good.
Shout out.
Chad, have you listened to Welcome to Fedville?
I have not.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay, Chad.
I've listened to one podcast ever. There's only one podcast I've ever listened to, and that is the Hard to Be Humble podcast. It's the first podcast I've listened to and the only. The one and only.
So
I'm loyal.
That's right, man. How many? So you record it. Obviously, it comes out of your mouth. How many have you actually listened to?
I listen to a little bit of each one.
Really?
At least, yeah.
That's shocking. That's interesting.
I do listen to a little bit.
Well, cool. Well, I'm glad you like it, Chad.
I do.
Well, all right, man. I appreciate your time today, as always. And woo pig, baby.
Woo pig.
Shouldn't have said baby.
Thank you for listening to Hard to Be Humble. Every ounce of support you give us is greatly appreciated. We can't thank you enough for tuning in with us today. Go now and follow the show on Twitter at @humble_podcast and on Instagram at @hardtobehumblepodcast. And if you'd like to have any of your thoughts, ideas, opinions, or concerns heard on the show, you can leave a voicemail or text our dedicated phone number at 615-392-0107. Hog calls are especially encouraged. And finally, never forget, as the late, great Mac Davis taught us so long ago, it can be really hard to be humble, especially if you're an Arkansas Razorback fan. Go Hogs!